You need to press the side to get the screen back.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Rabbosai, continuing on our journey, the Chofetz Chaim paints a picture. He describes a case, a situation. Probably a lot of it is familiar to us, happens quite often. And he then goes through all the various lavin that the various people have been over as they go through it. So let's take a simple example. Reuven speaking to Shimon. Reuven says to Shimon that I was somewhere together with somebody called Levi. And Levi said something not so nice about you. I was trying to think of a good example. I don't know whether this is a good example, but let's suppose that Reuven says to Shimon that Levi said, seeing as it's Friday morning, that Levi was speaking about Shimon, and Levi said about Shimon, he doesn't go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Example. Right, doesn't go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos, and now Reuven is coming to tell Shimon, Levi was talking about you the other day, and he said you don't go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos. So Shimon is very upset about that. So says the Chofetz Chaim. So first of all, Reuven has spoken Lashon Hara about Levi, that he was speaking about Shimon, and secondly, Shimon is mekabel. He accepts it, he believes it's true, and therefore somebody's been talking about him and telling other people he doesn't go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, so Reuven's been over Loisei Lichrochil, and Shimon's been over Kabbalah Lashon Hara Loisis or Shema Shov. Okay, now Shimon meets Levi, and Shimon says to Levi, I heard you were talking about me in front of Reuven the other day, and you mentioned that I don't go to mikvah. He says, why are you talking about me? Why are you discussing me at all? So now he becomes says the Chofetz Chaim, now Levi has become a rochel, has become a Baal Loshon Hara, because he's telling now Reuven, he's going to Shimon and saying that Reuven was telling me what you said about me. So therefore now Shimon is the Baal Loshon Hara, he's the Losei Lichrochel. Emphat Levi, I don't know what he's talking about. I didn't say that, and he's telling lies. It's not true at all. So now Levi has heard from Shimon that what Reuven has told him
is a lie.
It's not true. So when next time he meets, I get confused with who. Next time he meets Reuven,
gets complicated.
Next time he meets Reuven, he says to Reuven, the Chofetz Chaim's got the whole list there of all the people who've been saying things. He says that. So next time he meets Reuven, he says, you told me that Shimon, you told me that Shimon was speaking about me, and in fact he wasn't speaking about me. He says it's not true, and the guy says, I'm sorry, but it is true, and he did say it. Let's go together to him, and then I'm going to repeat the Lashon Hara in front of him, and we'll see what he says, and if he tells a lie to us now, then I will refute him. So they go together now, back to Reuven. And Shimon says to Reuven, Levi says to Reuven, you told Shimon that I was speaking about him, that he doesn't go to mikveh, and the truth is that it's a lie, I didn't say that. And Reuven says, you did say that. So eventually there's a discussion between them, and eventually he says, well, I did say it, but it was in a different context and in a different tone. He says, so what happened was that we were talking about people, Eilach Yidin, Nisht Eilach Yidin, Feine Yidin, Nisht Feine Yidin, etc., who are having a general discussion. And what I said was, says Shimon, instead of Reuven, he says, what I said was that, there are many, many finer people, many, many Elohim, and who to the outside maybe they don't appear so from, don't appear so Eloch, don't appear so religious, but in fact they're very religious. So I'll give you an example. I said, what about Levi? I said, Levi is the best guy in town. He's the biggest Baal Stocker. He's Elohim. He learns Daf Yomi three times a day, etc., etc. So what if he doesn't go to Mikveh of Shabbos? It doesn't matter. So I did say that he doesn't go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos, but I was saying it as part of a compliment. Says the Chofetz Chaim, carry on the Sunday.
Started at Hillel in Northwest London, Friday, 23rd of Shabbat, 2nd of February, Rabbi Shimon Heller Shlita Mitofer. This week's Torah was sponsored by family Adler, Lichlet, Sinus, and Bar Mitzvah of Shlomi Adler, Neriyo, Lost Shabbat, Yerotze, Shusku, Horob, Uskenom, Rav Nacha, Semen, Kalotzehem, Rizkos, Hashvoyim, Vachayolim, Vamilchamo, Shiachzru, Vatehem, Lishalom, Bimheiro.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. The parsha you've just been reading, Tzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, coming through to this week's parsha, Noich Hashem Eleikecha, the beginning of the Aseret Hadibros, all calls for the subject, which is a very basic subject, and a subject you can never get enough of, and that's the subject of Bitochen. No Chidushim today, just be Mechazik with it, it's beautiful, beautiful subject of Bitochen. You can talk and talk, and every story just gives us more and more Chizuk. And again, it's beautiful, Anoichi Hashem Eleikecha, Shei Tzisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So a very quick akdoma, because I don't want to get stuck on the akdoma, so very, very quick akdoma, and then we'll go into our subject. There is a machlokes, how Bitochen works. A machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish and others on one side, Nevaradok, Brisk, the Leshem on the other. Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish say that Bitochen doesn't guarantee anything, no guarantees. I have Bitochen that I'm going to get into this and this job, or I'm going to get into this and this, whatever I need. This appointment will work, or I'm going to get my parnasa. I have bitachon. Who told you? Who said you're supposed to get this parnasa? Who said you're supposed to get this job? Who said this is supposed to work out for you? Hashem never signed a contract with any one of us and is not mechuyev anything to anybody. I'm telling Hashem I've got bitachon, I'm going to get it. Maybe Hashem doesn't want to give it to me. Bitachon does not guarantee anything. Bitachon just means that any situation I'm in any given moment of time, is orchestrated by Hashem. Hashem loves me, and Hashem will do what's best for me, even though that might not fit my own personal agenda to the way I think what's good for me. Bitachon is a tranquility, a calmness. I know that I'm in Hashem's hands. There could be no way for my life better to be run. I'm calm and I'm tranquil with my situation, but it doesn't guarantee results. It tells you that the life that you are living is the result. So said Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish. Nevaradok, Brisk, the Leshem, they argue. No way. Bitochen is a tool, the most powerful tool in the world. And Bitochen guarantees the results, even if we're not worthy, even if we're not deserving. If we just 100% trust in Hashem when we need the salvation, the trust itself guarantees the salvation. It's a tool that brings its own results. Each of these two Mahalchim need not a shir, but a whole series of shiurim to see all different intricates and how they work. But today, we're going with Nevaradok. Today, we're going with the Nevaradok Mahalach that Bitochen guarantees its result. Other people like to teach it as two levels of Bitochen. There's day-to-day Bitochen. I live knowing that I'm ruled and run by Hashem and everything in my life is run by Hashem. That's like the day-to-day Bitochen. But you can sometimes latch higher, reach the higher level of Bitochen, the Nevaradok, the Bris Bitochen, which once again guarantees its result, and that's what we're going to talk about today. If I need a Yeshua, in whatever it might be in my life, I need a salvation. There are two ways on a spiritual level that I can try and get my salvation. The first is through tefillah. I can open my siddur, I can open my tehillim, and I can daven, and I can cry and beg Hashem for salvation. I can share my pain with Hashem and beg Him to help me. Tefillah. The second is bitachon. Calm, relaxed, smiling, convinced, assured that Hashem's going to give me what I need. Bitochen. It's really not a contradiction. One really leads to the other. It's a mahalach, it's betfilah, and then bitochen. But these are the two tools I can use. Which tool is more powerful, tefillah or bitochen? Which is a stronger tool, tefillah or bitochen? Bitochen is way more powerful, but way more difficult. It's much easier for me, I've got tzara, to cry to Hashem and to pour out my broken heart to Hashem if I have a tzara, than to be 100% calm, convinced, happy. I know for a fact it's going to work itself out. Bitochen is way more powerful, but way more difficult. We came out of Mitzrayim, and we're trapped. Yoinosi v'chagve hasela dimisich ra'ayosi. We're like a little tiny bird stuck in the crevice of the rock. On one side is a snake, on the other side is an eagle, and we're stuck in between. Mitzrayim behind us, the swirling ocean in front of us. Moshe Rabbeinu davens, he screams to Hashem, Hashem, Hoshi'enu, save us. by the words, unimaginable prosecution against the Jewish people. Terrible kitrugim. The malachim in Shemaim are screaming, halolo ivdavoy dezora, halolo ivdavoy dezora. The Jews served the idols just like the Egyptians did, but we expect more from the Jewish people. The Bnei Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, how can they be ivdavoy dezora? And nearly that we were thrown into the sea. Moshe Rabbeinu's davening. And Hashem said to Moshe, lomo ze titzak elai. Why are you davening? Because tefillah is not going to help. The prosecutions are so strong. Tefillah is not going to help. Daber el bede Yisrael ve'yisol. Just believe. Use a way stronger tool. Be tachen. Jump in the sea and trust in me. Even if a person is begeder Rosha and this kitrugim, but bitochen chesed yisayvavenu, even in such a situation. And so we jumped in the sea and we have the salvation. Where tefillah ends, bitochen starts. Where tefillah ends, bitochen starts. Let's see this from the Novi, and then as much time as we have, we'll see today's stories of the incredible power of bitochen. Yehoshaphat is the king in Yerushalayim. Divrei Hayomim. Yehoshaphat is the king in Yerushalayim. Yehoshaphat is a massive tzaddik. Massive tzaddik. He loves Tamidei Chachamim. When he's sitting on his throne and a Talmid Chacham enters the room, he descends from his throne. He walks up to a Talmid Chacham and kisses him on his forehead. A Talmid Chacham Toira Yehoshaphat, the great tzaddik. During his reign, enemies become friends. Conflicting nations unite in their united hatred against the Jewish people. As the pasuk says, "Vayacharechen," and it was after that. Bo mi b'nei Amoin came. V'imoyim me'amoy avim. Amoin and Moav, two massive superpowers joined together, and then a third, Edoim, dressed up as Amoinim, al Yehoshaphat la'milchama. Three massive superpower countries, each one a massive strength in their own right, unite together, and they travel towards Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim to attack Yehoshaphat. Now, Yerushalayim is a walled city. There's a wall all around the city. In the walls are guard towers. In the guard towers are soldiers with their telescopes looking into the distance to see that there's no threat or any sudden attack against Yerushalayim. This is what they were supposed to be doing around Gaza as well. They wouldn't have been relying on their cameras. They were there in the guard towers searching to make sure no sudden attack against the city. In one of the guard towers is a soldier holding his telescope, getting a little bit bored, looking down into the desert, and suddenly, he goes into a panic. No! What is this? The massive Ammoni army are advancing against us in battle. They're in full battle gear. He starts shaking. No! And no! Also, the Moavi army. We couldn't deal with one, two armies, and suddenly, also the Edoimi army, like the six-day war from all directions, three massive armies are all advancing against us in battle. He goes into a complete panic. He drops his telescope, goes flying into the city of Yerushalayim, crashing into the palace. Your Highness, what? We are finished. We don't stand a chance. As the pasuk says, Vayavoyu vayagidu Yehoshaphat lemor. They came and they said to Yehoshaphat, saying, Boilecha hamoin rav, massive armies are coming against us. Vehinenon b'chatzim tomor, he ain gedi. They are coming from the southwest. They've already reached Ein Gedi. They're just a day away from Yerushalayim. Yehoshaphat the king hears he's under sudden attack. Mighty armies are coming to attack his city. What is his immediate reaction? He's a tzaddik, Yehoshaphat. What is his immediate reaction? And I love his reaction. It's one word in the Navi. I get such chizuk from his reaction. They said we are being attacked, you know. Va'yira. He is shaking with fright. He is petrified. Why is he scared? He's a tzaddik. Because he's a human being. Because we're not malachim. Sometimes I think, why do I have more bitachon? Why do I get nervous about this? Why do I get nervous about that? Because you're a human being. We're not malachim. He's a tzaddik and he's human and he's under attack and he doesn't stand a chance and he's petrified. But of course, that's stage number one. If you're a tzaddik, you then mechazik yourself and you're mechazik and you react in the right way. So he's petrified, but he knows that fear doesn't solve problems. So what does he do? A day of prayer, a day of fasting, a day of tshuva. Vayikra Yehoshaphat Elam, Vayikra Tzoim B'Yerushalayim. He calls a fast in Yerushalayim, he gathers together the masses, he stands in front of the Amud and he davens. And he says the following words. Vayikra Yehoshaphat El Hashem, and he said, Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, Hashem God of our forefathers, and in the merit of our forefathers, Halo Tishbot Bom, do justice for us against them. Ki ein bonu koyach lifnei ha'amoin ha'rav ha'zeh ha'bo oleinu. I do not have the strength to fight. These mighty armies are coming against us. Hashem, I do not know what to do. My eyes are turned to you, Hashem, save us. And the entire city are fasting and davening, but no salvation. And the next morning, he's got two options. Either he remains in the relative safety of the walls of the city to be put under siege to starve to death, or he goes to engage the enemy in battle, which is an impossible battle. Of the two, he chooses the latter. Takes his army down to engage three mighty armies in battle. Vayashkimu baboike, says the pasuk, they got up in the morning. Vayerudu lemidbar takua, he went down to the midbar called Midbar Takua. And if you know Hebrew, hamatzav hayat takua, he is stuck, he doesn't stand a chance. Three mighty armies. Now, as he's readying himself for the battle, the way it works, before any battle, is that the general of the army, or in this case the king, stands up on a big box. And all the soldiers stand around him. And he always gives a speech. Always before a battle, a speech. Why? Because everyone always runs away from drushes. And that way, he gets up and they're going to run into battle. That's one reason. The other reason is because he's supposed to be machazik them and get their adrenaline and get their confidence to get them into battle and to give it their best. So usually, the speech will sound something like this. He'll get up on his box and he'll scream, Chayalim! Soldiers! And everyone, yes, your highness! We are not scared of the enemy! And all the soldiers, we're not scared of the enemy! We're way stronger than them! And all the soldiers, yeah, we're stronger than them! We have the most best advanced weapons in the world! And all the soldiers hold up their machine guns, best weapons in the world! We outnumber them! And everyone's, yeah! Victory is guaranteed ours! And everyone screams, victory is ours! Into battle, men! Victorious! We'll come back! Spoils of war guaranteed! And all the soldiers, victory! And they march into battle, full of adrenaline and self-confidence. We're definitely going to win! And that way he hypes up his soldiers and gives them the strength to go into battle with everything they have. Never mind that every general says the same thing to every single army. That is his job. There's your shofet on the box. The problem is that it's not going to work this time. All his soldiers are falling apart. They know they're going to a suicidal battle. And they know the next stage is a complete holocaust for their families back home. And all is lost. And he's thinking like, what am I going to say? He's up on the box. Man! Yes, your highness. We are not scared. We are absolutely petrified. We're chewing our fingernails. We are terrified. Weapons. America hasn't supplied this time. We don't have weapons. Training. We haven't done in years. We're outnumbered 100 to 1. We don't stand a chance. What's he going to tell them? What's he going to tell them? But he's up on his box. He's got to say something. So he gives them a drasha. And the whole drasha is 4 words. Don't we wish that every drasha would be 4 words? He gives them a 4-word drasha. But this drasha is so powerful. So powerful. Then the power of 4 words to win battles. And if I would have time to tell you all the stories, we would see that the power of 4 words to save a person from a life-threatening situation, to save people from financial crash and incredible financial situations, to save people again and again and again. These 4 words have proven themselves. 4 words that Yehoshaphat tells his men. I've never had so much feedback to any shiur like the shiur of Bitochen. If I could tell you all the stories that came back, the power of these 4 words, but we only have the time constraint that we have. But these 4 words are so powerful. You can write them down and put them in your pocket, in your heart, in your head, and live these 4 words. And he said, Rabbi Yisai, Achai v'rei b'nei Yisrael, my dear brothers, to tell you that we can win the war, p'derech ha'teva, we don't stand a chance. Such an enemy. But one thing I can tell you. Haminu b'Hashem Elokeichem. Just trust in Hashem, your God. Haminu b'Hashem Elokeichem. Just trust in Hashem, your God. V'tei omnu. And he will make justice for the trust that you put into him. Hashem will never, ever, ever let a person down. If you trust in Hashem, you'll never be let down. Vitei omnu. He will put justice in the trust that you put into him. Just trust in Hashem. Just trust in Hashem. V'te'omnu. He will make justice of that trust that you put into him. You know what? Sometimes in history we got it right. And this is one of those opportunities, one of those occasions. The Jewish people decided, maybe weapons we don't have, but we do have musical instruments. And they pulled out their musical instruments and they started dancing and singing. As the poet says, Vayivoy tzela'om, Vayamidu shoyrim lifnei achalutz. And they start singing and they said, Hoidu Hashem ki le'olam chastoi. They are dancing and singing, thank you Hashem, Hashem, thank you. Hashem, thank you for what? Hashem, there's no way you're not going to let me. If I get onto a bus and I don't have money on me, but my father's standing right next to me, thank you, Daddy, for obviously you're going to pay for me. You don't leave me stuck on the bus to be kicked out by the conductor. It's my father standing next to me with money in his hand. Of course he's going to pay for me. Thank you, Hashem. Of course he's going to help us. They were so convinced of the salvation. They were dancing, says the Pasuk. At the moment when they reach such a level of bitachon that they are dancing and singing, Hashem made a lack of trust between the three mighty powers. And Edom suddenly said, Ammon and Moab were always my enemies. How come they're suddenly joining me in battle? 1 minute. It's a trick. I've just chopped. It's a trick. They want to embroil me in battle and then attack me from behind. I just chopped. How could I fall into such an obvious trick? And Ammon said about Moab, Moab always hated me. How come they're joining me in battle against the Jews? 1 minute, they want to embroil me in the battle against the Jews and then hit me from behind. Ammon said about Moab. Moab said about Ammon. They both said about Edom. And in the same moment, all three attacked each other. And that showed them or gave the confidence that their theory was right, confirmed their theories. And the next thing you know, blood is flowing through the sand of the Middle East as Hamas, Hezbollah, and ISIS are slaughtering each other. And nobody can even blame Israel because they're all using their own weapons. And the next thing you know is that the Yidden won the war without lifting a finger, just through singing Hashem's praises. Ha'aminu b'Hashem elekeichem v'te'omnu. Before Mashiach comes, we are going to go through a very, very, very difficult situation where the entire world is going to gather against Klal Yisrael in the battle. As the Pasuk says, Hine yoyim bol Hashem v'osafti es kol ha-goyim al Yushalayim l'melchama. Everybody. It will be a situation unprecedented in our history. As the Navi says in Daniel, V'oye eis tzor le'yakov eshlo yiniyaso kamoyhu. It will be an eis tzor le'yakov that has never, ever been like it in the history of the world. But we will have the most phenomenal salvation. Umimenu yivosha, umimenu yivosha. And we will see miracles greater than the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim in our salvation. And when we will have this situation, we will sing a new Shira to Hashem. Like when we came out of Mitzrayim, we sang the Oz Yashir. We're going to sing Shira Chadosha, a beautiful new song. So sweet, never sung before. As Klal Yisrael with ecstasy are going to sing the song to Hashem on the salvation that Amit Hashem we will see very soon. However, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, in the name of the Shlach Kodesh, a massive chiddush, and he said, I want you to know that the Shira that we're going to sing to Hashem in the upcoming salvation, we are going to sing before the salvation, when we're being surrounded by every enemy in the world, when we're going to be in the most horrific, horrific, dangerous situation, then we're going to sing the Shira, convinced that Hashem will not let us down and will save us. And in that merit, we're going to be saved. And that's what the Pasuk said, Tashuri Meroish Amona. This song is going to be in advance through the Koyach of Emunah, and through that we're going to be saved. The beauty of the new song we're going to sing with the coming of Mashiach is that unlike when we came out of Mitzrayim and we sang after we came through the Yom Suf, this time we're going to sing the song in the most desperate of situations, deep in the darkness, convinced Hashem is not going to let us down. It's impossible. He's our Father. He loves us. We're going to sing the song in the dangers. And that in itself is going to be the merit that brings the redemption. Many, many stories about Bitochen. I'm just going to choose this specific story because it brings out our point so strongly. Because everything and every assault applies on a national level and applies on a private day-to-day level as well. There is a phone-in hotline called Chazak Hotline. I used to be able to phone in from Eretz Yisrael. And in Chazak Hotline, they've got a number of different extensions where you can hear different shiurim from different rabbonim, etc. One extension on the Chazak Hotline is very, very unique. It's people telling stories about themselves. This is not rabbonim, not people selling a certain agenda or a certain mahalach. It's people telling their own stories. And people have been through tremendous nisyonis in their lives and terrible, terrible, terrible situations. And they literally take their tzara to be mechazik other people. And there's some unbelievable stories there. Stories where your mamas just can cry as you hear these stories. And these people just stand up and they're immunah and they're bitochen and they're mechazik everybody else. If we wonder in what merit we'll see Mashiach amongst the many other merits that Klal Yisrael have. If you just listen to Chazak Hotline and the immunah and the bitochen, it's unbelievable. Mi ka'am chi Yisrael. I remember hearing a person who had an only daughter. And she was engaged to get married. And she was killed in a terrorist attack in Eretz Yisrael. He was an American. And he stood up and he tells the whole story. And he says, when I say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mechai HaMesim, every morning in Shemayin Esra, I believe every word I say. And I know that when Chazal call those that have passed away, Yesheinei Ofa, sleeping in the sand, I know that that is literal. And just like when my daughter's sleeping at night, I'm not terribly in pain because I know she'll wake up in the morning. I know now as well, it's just a longer night and she'll wake up. Mechai HaMesim, Mika Amcha Yisrael. Anyway, one of the stories on Chazak Hotline, by far not the most painful, by far, a Nisoyan that would be considered a much smaller Nisoyan than the others, but it's irrelevant to us because we just want to get the point of this story. There's a woman, she lives in America, and she tells Ova that amongst various things she's grappling with, one thing is terrible, terrible poverty. She's a very poor lady, obviously. She said like this, she's got a family, and her husband works in a summer camp 4 months a year, which means 4 months a year he earns money, and the other 8 months he's looking for a job. Even the 4 months when he's working, she says, the income is not adequate. But 8 months a year, he's looking for a job, on and off, more unsuccessful than successful. There's no money in the house. Nebuch, this poor woman, all she wants to do is be a mother to her children. All she wants to do is be a wife to her husband. She wants to do is make nourishing meals for her children and bring them up and give them whatever they need. But if you haven't got ingredients, you can be the best cook in the world. She has nothing and everyone's running after it. Everyone's got times again. So what's the poor woman done? Her husband is not earning any money. What should she do, Nebuch? It's a tough life. And she tells over. It was 2 weeks before Yom Kippur when she gets a phone call from the local supermarket 2 blocks down. Hello, is that Mrs. Brown? Yes, speaking. It's me, Rafi, from the supermarket. He's the manager. How can I help you? He said, listen here, Mrs. Brown. You've got an outstanding bill of $500. She says, Agav, the reason why my bill is only $500, because that's the max. You can't get past $500. So a year and a half before, I got stuck on my $500, and that's where it stayed for the next year and a half. Mrs. Brown, I want to explain you something, says Rafi. The reason why we have a bill is because somebody is on the way home from Shacharis. They want a loaf of bread. They want a pint of milk. They haven't got cash on them. So they write it down. They come in the next day. They pay the bill. But it's not an idea that you hold on to a $500 bill for a year and a half. You have to understand something. We've got to pay our supplies. We've got to pay our workers. We've got to pay for our rent, for our shop. We're a business. You can't run a business if nobody's going to pay their bills. If you don't mind, you had a bill for a year and a half. Can you please do something about it? And she's like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're 100% right. Listen to me. Yeah, okay, listen. Forget about all the answers. Just make sure that in the near future, this bill, yeah, 100%, 100%. She puts down the phone, Nebuch of all her problems, another one on her head. $500 for her was a mountain. How am I going to pay this bill? She said it was Motzei Yom Kippur. And all the children are home because it's Bein Hazman. All the children are around in the kitchen. She decided this year, she's starting early for her cooking for Sukkot. So she calls her son Yanki, Shiva Bocha. Yanki, do me a favor. Go to the Makolet of Rafi. Buy me a sack of potatoes, sack of onions, sack of carrots. Here's $20. And whatever the change is, it should be $3, however insignificant, just put against the bill because I've got to show him that I'm trying, that I didn't forget. Whatever, get, just put it to what, no problem, ma. Yanki runs off to the shop. There's a young girl behind the till, buys a sack of potatoes, carrots, onions, comes to the till, puts it, weighs it all up. Okay, that'll be $16.50. Fine, gives her $20. Do me a favor, the change, put it against the bill of Family Brown. Fine, she tells him the computer. She's telling, what exactly do you want? You want me to give you that credit against your bill? No, I want to put it against the bill that we owe Family Brown. She's like, I don't understand what you want. Either you get cash in hand and I give you the change, or I put it as credit onto your cheshbon. What would you like? He's like, no, I'd like to have cash in my hand and credit in my cheshbon. But right now, I've got to pay the bill. I want to put it against the bill. She said, I'm confused. What do you want to do? You want credit or you want cash? He's like, what don't you understand? We owe $500 to the shop. I want to take it off the choiv. One day, amid the shem, we'll have cash and credit. She's like, look, I'm looking at my computer. You don't owe any money to the shop. So what do you want me to do to change? He says, impossible. We owe 500. What's your name? Brown. Where do you live? 13th Avenue. Fine. What number? 57. You don't owe any money. That's impossible. Do you want to see yourself? Yes. Shetney walks around, looks at the screen, all the information. Bill, 0.00. He's like, I can't believe this. He knows how much pressure his parents are under. He knows how hard it is for his parents. He knows that. I'll take the change, thank you. Takes the change, puts it in his pocket. He dances off home, comes into the house. There's his mother, all the children around. Ma, here's the potatoes. Thank you, Yankee. With pleasure, Ima. Ma, here's the carrots. Thank you, Yankee. Pleasure, Ima. Ma, here's the onions. Thank you, Yankee. Pleasure, Ima. Ma, here's the change. Yankee, why give me change? I told to put it against it. We don't owe any money. No, Yankee, we owe 500. Ma, we don't know. No, Yankee, Ma, these eyes saw the screen. Family Brown, 0.00. As he said those words, all the children just started laughing. And the mother burst out crying. Just from emotions. No, Bill. It was also the $500, and that was very substantial, but that's not what it was. It was the idea that Hashem came into their lives and paid their bill. Just the thought, we're not alone. We're not a Nebuch family. We don't have to deal with our own problems. Hashem had come into their lives and paid the bill. The excitement, all the children jumped up. They literally locked hands. And almost spontaneous, they all start dancing around the table, singing Chasdei Hashem Kilei Samnu Kilei Chol Rachamot. All together, Chasdei Hashem, dancing and dancing around the table. She said, I've never seen my family so happy. We were on, if you want to use the American notion, on cloud nine. The whole night, she said, that's it. We said, no cooking, no baking, just enjoying each other. The whole night, we played and we laughed and we had fun. It was literally Purim, Chanukah, and Simchas Torah all in one. We had a night of our lives, all the children playing and laughing. We were in ecstasy. The next morning, children wake up like still on springs, like, wow, the miracle. They're sitting around the table, and the daughter says, Ma, Ima, I'll tell you what happened. You know you volunteer for the color dress, Gemach. Hashem saw that you've got chesed for other people, and Hashem did a chesed for us. And obviously a rich person came into the shop on Erev Yom Kippur. He said, I want a schus for Yom Kippur. Is there any needy family? And they must have pointed to us. And the mom said, no, let's phone the shop and let's see what happened. She takes the phone. Then she put on loudspeaker, all the kids around. Phone rings. Hi, can I speak to Rafi? Yeah, 1 second. Hello? Hi, it's Mrs. Brown. I just want to, Mrs. Brown, you can ask anything you want, but I just want to remind you something. You have an outstanding bill of $500. I told you this 2 weeks ago. You said you're going to try and pay it off. If you don't mind, because I'm not seeing anything happening, so you can ask me what you want. But first, if you don't mind to pay your bills. And she's like, I won't. What do you mean? I owe $500. Oh, you don't know they owe $500? I didn't discuss with you. You've already forgotten. No, chas v'shalom. I would never ever deny if I owe you money, but are you sure I owe you money? What do you mean? Am I sure? Have you paid it? I said, no. Maybe somebody paid my bill for me. Maybe, why should, what makes you think somebody paid your bill for you? No, listen, Rafi, I want to tell you something. I sent my son, Amotzi Yom Kippur, to pay off some of the bill. She didn't mention it was $3. I sent my son to pay off some of the bill, and he wanted to pay, and there was 0.0. So there is, Mrs. Brown, we don't open the shop on Motzi Shabbos, but Amotzi Yom Kippur is a chesed to open the shop, just in case somebody needs something before Yom Tov. But we didn't put in the computer system, okay? So everything was 0.0, because we're not setting up the whole system just for a couple of hours we're open on Motzi Shabbos. But you owe $500, and if you can pay it, please, as soon as possible. And she dropped the phone. And all the children heard this. And they all burst out crying. The balloon was burst. We are so naive. We're so naive. As if Hashem pays off your bills. As if Hashem pays off your bills. We really are a Nebuch family. We never have any money. We can never go on outings. I mean, it's such Nebuchs. Yet you read in books as if, and she said, my whole family burst out crying. Yet we were just sobbing. All the pain of the years came back, like with such nebuchs, with such losers, just crying and crying. I looked at my family, she said, and I said like this. 10 minutes ago, we were the happiest family in the whole of America. 10 minutes later, we're the saddest family in the whole of America. Why? Because Hashem didn't pay off our bill. It's not the $500, it's the fact that we thought that Hashem was with us. And now we've realized that he isn't. I watched my family crying, I said, 1 minute, and is Hashem not with us? Is Hashem not with us? Is Hashem not our loving Father? Mika Amcha Yisrael. So I took a Sefer Tehillim. I went to the corner of the room, she said. And I davened from the depth of my heart. And she didn't daven about the money. She said, Hashem, give me such bitachon in you, such bitachon in you, that I shall feel the same ecstasy that I felt 10 minutes ago, because I know you're here and I know you'll look after me. She said, for 10 minutes, I davened for this. I've never davened so deep from my depth of my heart. And after 10 minutes, I felt a surge of joy. I felt a confidence, a tranquility. Hashem will never let me down. It was so real. She suddenly, a smile spread across her whole face. She turns around and the children saw that smile. It was infectious. Mommy, why are you smiling? Children, we can dance. Hashem is with us. We have no worries in the world. Children, we can dance. Spontaneously, they all grabbed each other's hands. And a second later, she said, we were dancing with the same vigor that we danced the night before. Bang on the table in circles. Chaste Hashem kirei salnu kirei chol rachamav. Over Ace Hechelu Barina Osehila. At the moment when they reached such a high level of bitachon that they were dancing, at that moment the phone rang. She picks up the phone and it's her mother-in-law. Hi, Rachama. Hi, Mommy. You know, Rachama, I'm always worrying about you and I'm always thinking about you. I appreciate that. But I want you to know, although it's not easy for us financially, I'm always trying to put aside a bit of money for you on the side. Right now, I've got a certain sum put together. Is there any specific shop you want me to put it into? She said, actually, yeah, I'd appreciate if we can go into the makolet of Rafi. She said, 5 minutes didn't go by, and my bill was 0.00. My boy said, one song of Chaste Hashem. Bitochen is so strong, it can pay your bills. Not only can it pay your bills, it can take it from the most unlikely place in the world. Your own mother-in-law can be the source of your salvation. Chaste Hashem, kilei somnu, kilei cholu rachamov. Now, boys, what should I say? Tam avaloi nishlam. If I would tell you the amount of stories I got back to this year, mitzvashem, when we'd have an opportunity, but until then, Rabbi Isai, if we can leave ourselves to this beautiful messenger, Yishofa, the great king of the Jewish people, ha'minu v'ashem v'te'omnu.
Boys, I thought these are narrative stroll for the bar mitzvah of a grandson, so I'm just going to tell you briefly a short bob for your table. After Matan Torah, it says, V'cholom Amroim. Rashi brings down the Medrash for Kitzah. V'cholom Amroim, everybody could see. It says Rashi, Shloihoy Behem Sumin. There were no cataracts, there was no difficult vision, etc., etc. Shloihoy Behem Sumin. And then it says, Vayaho on Vayonu, Vayam de Mirochoi. They were so scared, they moved back 12 mil, Rashi says. So then, Melamed, says the Medrash, Magid Shvochan Shel Yisrael, Shloihoy Behem Chigrim. Everybody could walk, everybody could stand. And then it says, Vayorimru, they said, and therefore Shloihoy Behem Ilmim. Everybody could speak. And then it said, they said, Naasev and Nishma. And Nishma means that we will hear. Shloihoy Behem Charoshim. Everybody could hear. The question is, why is this Magid Shvochan Shel Yisrael? Why is this a praise of Yisrael? It's l'choy, a praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a vested interest, first of all, that when the whole of the nation is standing in front of him, and he's coming down to give them the Torah, that everybody should be healthy. He hasn't got a nation of unhealthy people, a nation of people with medical problems. That's one idea. The second thing is that the Gemara speaks about a moidor abba l'araiso. Anybody who later on will do an Aveira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come along and want to punish him for the Aveira, and he'll say, I'm sorry, I wasn't there, I was in hospital, I was in bed, I had the flu, I had COVID, I had a headache, I had a migraine, whatever it is, yeah, he'll come up with all sorts of terutzim and say that therefore I was never mechayev myself in Matan Torah. Therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the whole of Kal Yisrael, without exception, to oblige themselves in the keeping of the mitzvahs, to say Naaseh v'Nishma, of course everybody had to be healthy. So therefore it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his own interests of having a nation of healthy people and that they should commit themselves. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom who cured them of whatever illnesses they had. Why did it say Magid Shvochan Shel Yisrael? We all know that before Matan Torah, famous Rashi, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor, Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad, because Vayichan is written in Loshen Yochid. It's written in the singular. And until then, says Rashi, all the chanuyas, all the campings, all the encampments, the journeys, everything was betarumas of machloikas, because it says everything in the Loshon Rabim. Vayiloinu, vayoymaru, vayetzu, vayachanu. Everything is written Loshon Rabim. That's an idea of pirut. That's the idea of doing things without achdus, without unity, and then suddenly the pasuk says vayichan shom Yisrael neged ahor, not vayachanu. That means that they were ki'ish echod b'lev echod. That's what Rashi brings down. So, if you have a look at the psukim that run from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Matan Torah, you'll take a find, like Rashi says, everything is written Loshon Rabbim. And even when the Rabbeinu Shalom talks to us, he speaks in Loshon Rabbim. He's speaking to a rabble. He's speaking to a non-unified nation. He says, Adona me'antem lishmai mitzvosai v'sloi rosoi. Yeah, and then various other lashonis that I can't remember by heart, where lo aleichem lo olai tenu no yisteichem ki al Hashem, etc. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Klal Yisrael Loshon Rabbim because they are a Loshon Rabbim. They're a diverse nation. They're not together. They're not ba'achdus. When they get to Vayichan Sham Yisrael, then they can be b'kishchecha b'levecha to receive the Torah. But if you look at the psukim from Matan Torah, from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, there's one pasuk that does speak in the Loshon Yochid. And it's a pasuk that we all know very well because we say it every night in Kriya Shema Alamito. But after Moro, they came to, after Kriyas Yamsov, they came to Moro, there was no water, they complained and they argued, etc., etc. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them a miracle. It says there, Vayoyme, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, Im Shomoya Tishma, L'Koyel Hashem L'Kechot. Im Shomoya Tishma, B'loshen Yochid. If you will listen singular, V'hazanto L'mitzvah Yisov, not V'hazantem, V'shomarto Kulchukov, not Ushmartem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Halavai, I'd like to be able, you're all b'tarumas of machlokes, like Rashi says. Everything Loshon Rabbim. I'd like to be able to speak to you in Loshon Yochid. Im Shomaya Tishma L'Koyel Hashem L'Kecho. If you would be one unified nation, ba'achdus, I'd be able to speak to you in the singular. And say, V'ha'azam tole mitzvoysov, V'shomato kol chukov. What will be the result? What will be the reward? Kol ha'machalosh samtib v'nsayim lo yosnim olecho. That everybody will be healthy. That everybody will be cured, that there will be no illnesses, that there will be no disabilities. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael got to that madrega of Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu cured them of all their illnesses. He fulfilled his side of the bargain. You became Ba'achdus, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor, therefore I'm Mekayim my side of the bargain of Kol HaMachalash Samtim Mitzrayim Lo Yosim Olecho. Therefore it's Shevochan Shel Yisrael, it's the praise of Yisrael, that because they got to the Madriga of Achdus, that's why there were no Sumim, and then there were Charoshim, and then there were Ilmim, and everybody was healthy to receive the Torah.